conversation shouldn't be repeated on the air. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's
you wish.
503-733-2970. In mere moments, Tim Riley joins us from the Ministry of Truth. Hey, look, ladies and gentlemen, it's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Bam!
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Tell us about that speech last night.
What speech? Oh, yeah.
Is this a Bushwatch?
I believe it is, yes.
Oh, God. Kill me!
Here's your Bushwatch for,
He's the president, resident, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush. Life is hard, that's the price of fame. When you're president, everyone knows your name. Hey, what's that there? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House.
That's on my honor.
So some of the people sat through the whole speech, others are bored, some in between.
Where were you?
Somewhere in between those two.
I
get tired of this. Stand, sit, stand, sit. It felt
again,
like being in church.
You know,
applaud, don't applaud.
Can I just tell you, I kind of lied to Lisa a little bit. I lied to Lisa Goddard just a little bit. Let's never tell her I said this.
You try to appear more intellectual than perhaps you are.
Well, she knows that. She cracked that nut a long time ago. I'm just saying that... I did watch part of it, but then eventually I was just, and then I listened to part of it on the radio, then I watched part of it on TV, and then I'm just like, oh, God, I hate this. And so what I did is I waited until this morning, and someone, God bless them, God bless the internet, someone had put up a version on YouTube with all of the applause removed.
Right.
That was
as it should be.
And it cut it down to like 9 minutes. Mm-hmm. It was gold. I was able to watch the whole thing in like during 1.5 cups of coffee. So I watched the whole thing later with all the applause removed, and it was that's how I didn't suffer for my art.
Mm-hmm. Well, Nebraska Republican Chuck Hagel, a Vietnam veteran, said the Bush administration never had a coherent strategy for Iraq.
That's crazy.
There is no plan. There is no strategy. This is a ping pong game with American lives.
Sounds like somebody needs a little re-education.
Let's paint a bleak picture of the broader Middle East, Mr. Hagel.
It is far more dangerous than we've ever seen. We have totally destroyed our standing and reputation and influence in the Middle East by what we're doing. And the more we sink down into this bog, the harder it is to get out of, the more enemies we make.
I won't spill any more paint in the garage. I'm sorry.
Jesus.
Let's bring out another Midwest Republican. This is Senator Dick Lugar. He's skeptical about the new Iraq strategy.
It is unclear to me how passing a non-binding resolution that the president has already said he will ignore will contribute to any improvement or modification of our Iraq policy.
Drinky poo before work.
Meanwhile, Senator Burton Moore says he thinks the president made a good cause for Congress, and the American people have lots of patience when it comes to Iraq.
It is urban warfare at its finest and its worst, if you will, and I think that's where the first focus will be, is to secure Baghdad, and you do that by taking down the terrorists that are causing trouble.
Yes, the general says it'll take time to win the war.
As President Bush said, I think he made a very good case for the Congress and the American people.
There was an edit right there. I wonder what they took out. You can hear it.
As President Bush said, I think he made a very good case for the Congress and the American people to have patience in this war.
That's okay. It doesn't matter to me. I no longer know what he was trying to say there.
Time for a little Joe-mentum.
Oh, fantastic.
Mr. Lieberman says, with a new general at the helm to command our forces, he wants to give the surge a big chance.
How Iraq ends will have a big effect on the security of the American people for decades to come. And so long as we can still win, which I believe we can, then we've got to do everything we can to make that possible.
All right, I'm just making notes for when Scotty comes in here.
Yes, Mr. Lieberman says we will win the war in Iraq.
This plan is one General Petraeus told us is different than anything we've done before in Iraq, and it can, and he believes, will work.
What is it that we're doing different? We're going door to door handing out seized candy to win the hearts and minds.
We're
going to
be selling copies of Grit.
Look at the happy savages.
Would you like a shiny bead? We should offer them a truckload of shiny beads for their country. Just see what they say. Well, no, they might surprise us. Let's see here. Scotty, Scotty's typing on the screen. I'm livid. People are ridiculous. That's red, R-E-D. People are ridiculous. He is livid. We and then he doesn't want us to leave. We don't. So they, he, I swear to God, I don't want them to call us woozies. WOWOOSIES, woozies.
Woozies?
Woozies.
Oh,
like,
woozies.
Is that like a cute name for number two, Scotty? Does somebody have to go a woozy? All right, I don't know. A wussy. Is that what that's supposed to be? Oh, I, okay. Just
Who doesn't he want to call us wussies?
Scotty? Who isn't supposed to call us a woozy, wussy? Who are these people that would be doing that? Do they have your home number?
They want us to win the war because he lives in fear that the Iraqi people are going to call us wussies.
Are they going
to
text you? Is that the thing? You're going to pick it up?
I can't handle being called names by Iraqis either.
There'll be going to be a knock at your door and you'll open it and there'll just be some flaming poo and a note saying woozy. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, Arizona Senator John McCain didn't make any comments about the Iraq part. Instead, he commented on nuclear power. That is a vital component of America's future.
I think it's a good beginning. I would have liked to have heard him mention that we need to really make a push on nuclear power, both for the greenhouse gas issue, but also to help us become independent.
I forgot to mention this to Lisa Goddard last night, that this is a, that was another thing that George Bush did.
Oh, the independent on foreign fuel thing?
But you'll notice
that never happens.
You'll notice that he didn't say we need to become, that we have a dependency on oil. He said, we have a dependency on foreign oil. Apparently it's not oil in general. Apparently it's only the foreign kind. Apparently American oil is some kind of methadone that we can just jump off of like you're a bum jumping off a train. Apparently foreign oil is the only kind that we're hooked on there. So and then he followed that up like 5 seconds later with the phrase clean coal. So that's like worth 4 points in the drinking game.
Barack Obama said he believes the nation has given the president over 3 years to come up with a strategy in the war-torn country.
At a certain point, I think people start believing that a military solution is not going to bring about a stable Iraq.
Am I alone here in thinking that Barack Obama is going to win something in the next election simply because of the power of his voice? And I don't mean the power of his ideas. I mean what he's talking about.
He is a splendid orator.
I'm just simply talking about what Henry Rollins would call the warm yet crisp timbre of his voice. I mean,
at a certain point, I think people start believing that a military solution is not going to bring about a stable Iraq.
He has. It's not distractingly deep, but it does have a lot of timbre to it. He has the voice of a guy who spent a long time as a public figure, someone who spent a long time. So, what did he do before he did this?
I don't know, but he sounds like a supermarket manager who gets up on the PA saying that there are fresh bananas in the
produce aisle. At a certain point, people start believing that a military solution is not going to bring about
and a sale on tangerines.
A stable Iraq.
And plus, if your license plate number is 563-222, your lights are on. Thank you very much.
At a certain point, I think people...
All right, here's Tim Riley.
Then we have Republican California Congressman and 2008 presidential candidate Duncan Hunter. Anybody know who he is?
Hunter?
He's running for president.
No, I don't know.
Well, he said Congress should give the president the chance.
I'm sorry, who?
Duncan Hunter. He wants to be your president.
Good for him. Who is he?
He's from California.
What does he do there?
He's a congressman.
Okay.
I think it's in our interest to have...
You're not going
to
win
I think it's in our interest to have a country there that's not an enemy of the United States, is free, will not be a state sponsor of terrorism in the future.
Okay. Well, there you go.
That's the end of the Bush Walk.
Thanks, Duncan.
He's the president in residence, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, back my book.
Fantastic. Here's Tim Riley.
And now it's time for me to take the fun out of the election for this story.
No.
Is this
to the person who's not running?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I didn't want to know. All right, fine. I'm bracing myself.
He plans to announce it today that he will not seek the 2008 presidential race and instead remain in Congress and seek re-election to the Senate next year.
Yeah.
John Kerry. has changed his plans dramatically from the fallout of the election. He botched joke about the election, the education levels of U.S. troops. The harsh reaction to that incident for many Democrats, as well as Republicans, and those even living in Massachusetts, displayed they carry the extreme skepticism
I'm sorry,
within his own party over whether he should mount another run.
No, he should not.
See, the big disappointment for me was when he lost last time.
That's what I'm saying, is I don't even know how I feel about that, because it's like he wasn't going to win this time either, but at least he would have been there to give us some sort of amusement. Like, it was a little comedy value from him, at least. Now we're not even going to have that.
No.
You know what I mean? And he's independently wealthy. It's not like he's going to go in debt to do it. What else is he doing with his money? So, I don't know. You're from that part of the country. Do people love him there? I mean, I know he's been elected and so forth, but I mean, do people...
Well, people automatically vote for Democrats there anyway.
it's just the culturally default setting.
Right, because all Catholics there are Democrats. And Massachusetts is all Catholic, being mostly Irish.
Right.
So it's not a problem.
Ah, it's too bad. And, you know, the great thing about him running would have been to see the inevitable deconstruction and meltdown of that nutcase wife of his.
Oh, she's crazy, isn't she?
Well, you know, Jules, you never heard from her again. I mean, I guess, why would you?
She needs to be given a daytime talk show.
Oh, man, I'd give her... Hello, Teresa Hines-Carey. If you would like a show on this station, at a day and time of your choosing, I don't care what you talk about, I don't care what you do, it doesn't matter. If you would like to have a radio talk program, you get in touch with Rick Emerson, and he'll give you whatever it is you need to make that happen, because you are insane and drunk-sounding most of the time, and therefore fantastic. And the great thing about Teresa Hines-Carey, and I don't know much about her, I don't know what kind of person she is, but she did... Remember we were having that... I can't believe I'm about to compare these two people. Remember we were having that discussion about Rebecca Webb at Kink?
I want to be involved. You may have your own one-sided conversation about our coworkers. I'll just sit back here and relax and listen.
I wasn't saying anything about Rebecca Webb. I'm certainly not comparing her to Teresa Hines-Carey in any sort of negative way. Because...
What is wrong with you?
Nothing. Nothing. I have the,
relaxing. Soothing.
This ought to
be not telepram.
Instead of like a buzzer that tells me when I've started to go astray, this ought to be the thing that comes on, so it just sort of gently moves us back onto track.
You're totally right. We should completely leave the cart machine here.
Yeah. Because otherwise I'm just going to want to play it all the time.
It makes everyone feel so good.
This is exactly what they do, though, when they change the format of a radio station. They just play something like this over and over again for like 4.5 weeks, which is called stunting.
Is this week number one?
Well, day's not over yet. I guess there's always time to find something out about our futures. But they'll do something called stunting, or sometimes you'll hear it called blowing off an audience, blowing up a station, whatever.
And killing a listener.
Killing a...
That was stunting.
the new sound of KD&D, or whatever the hell that station is. Okay.
Too soon.
It's not too soon. Wait,
you're making
we were doing
fun
it,
of the girls.
We
make fun
doing,
of the station, not
we were
the
doing
girls.
It last with the girls. When like, the girls going to hear
you're
me?
You were doing it yesterday when I was gone.
Yeah. The girl's in a better place.
She's got all the wheeze she could possibly want now. She's weeing in the arms of God, Sarah.
You're a bad person.
It's a heavenly wee that pleases her now.
I can hear that car arguing.
Here's Tim Riley. Rebecca Webb's a fine person and a gifted newscaster. Here's Tim Riley.
That's all you wanted to say.
Yes.
Anybody remember Manuel Noriega?
No.
Well, yes. Same.
He looked like Edward James Olmos.
Mm-hmm. Well, he hopes to immediately board a plane for Panama when he's released from prison on September 9th, and he plans to fight his conviction back home in the slayings of two political opponents. One he even beheaded way back when. Noriega, who is 70, had parole hearings in 2002 and 2004 to cut short his 30-year sentence. Apparently, he plans to waive any deportation hearings and try to board a plane to Panama the day he's released. He wants to go back home and enjoy his grandchildren in quiet retirement.
Okay, hold on. I got so many jokes here. They're just coming to me fast and furious. Wait, hold on a second. Almost. Noriega. Do you want me to just do these in no particular order?
Sure.
Okay.
That's the way we're used to it.
Here's another Daily Show headline for you. If you work at the Daily Show, find a reason to do a story about the popular Edward James Olmos just so you can use the headline Almost Famous. Almost Famous.
Give me the card.
All right. Okay. Can I re-cue it first?
No.
Okay, here you go.
Thank you.
All right. There's some joke there about beheading Saddam. Saddam beheaded.
No, this is Noriega. He's a different beheader.
Saddam beheaded to the grave. There's something there. I don't really know what it is. Thank you. We'll come back to that. Come back to that one later. And finally, Noriega. Here's my thing about Noriega is where... I wasn't listening, so it's my own fault.
Oh.
Where is he now? I mean, what...
He is in prison.
Prison where, though? In another country or here in America?
Here. Miami, Florida.
He is in prison. Now, color me ignorant. I am a dumb American. He's in prison for... on what charge?
Well, not liking the Bushes.
Okay. What is the... How should I put this?
Basically...
Not the real reason. What is the reason we, the people, have been given for Noriega? If you were to...
I don't remember.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't remember what they are.
Wasn't he the...
But according to this... He decapitated a dissident leader in 1985 who threatened to overthrow him. So I guess that is a serious charge, even in Panama.
That's our job. Only we are allowed to...
They could have left him in a jungle to die from malaria instead of bringing him back here. But we're a humane people.
So we bring him back here so we can be buggered repeatedly.
We spirit people out of their own countries and bring them back here to live in comfort.
Is he in prison or is he under house arrest?
No, he's in prison.
Really? He's like a real prison, though. Is he in a real prison?
Yeah, where you hang onto the bars and wait for your lunch to be served underneath. That kind of prison.
Where you hang onto the bars.
Yeah.
Okay.
People are always hanging onto the bars in prison. What else they do? Like a monkey.
So he's... I don't even know.
Well, we don't know exactly what he does every day. I would imagine he's writing a book of some sort.
Guessing it does involve hanging on to bars. All I'm saying, like the back of a Volkswagen, all I'm saying is he was the ruler, the dictator someplace?
Yes.
Panama. He sold drugs, or am I confusing him with somebody else?
Yes. As a matter of fact, he sold cocaine, allegedly.
Okay, no, he did that. He did, of course he did that. I don't really care. No one else cares. All right, well, he's...
And then
if you
headed somebody.
Okay. Well, you got...
sorry, it was total decapitation.
I mean, good help is hard to find. And so, he's in prison, and now, why is this in the news again?
He's getting out of prison.
To do what?
To enjoy his retirement.
To sell Mary Kay. All right.
Whatever there is to do in Panama.
There's a great city. No, but he's...
Climb a tree, pick bananas.
Oh, he's going back to Panama. He's not going to be living here.
No.
Oh, that's too bad. I was picturing some...
That was part of the story.
That was the whole... Well, I wasn't listening.
Oh, okay.
That was the whole work release program, I was getting to. Because that seems like an SNL bit in the making right here, where it's like, I'd like you to meet your new cubicle mate, Manuel. Manuel is going to be helping you with accounts receivable. And then you look over and there's Manuel with his, like, full-on military garb and, like, you know, and like, you know, on a corn cob pipe. Hello, I am here to help you.
No, he's not getting a cubicle.
All right. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Sarah's giving me the we're overtime. I still haven't talked about Taylor Swift.
We're all the poorer for it.
No, you don't... Fine, if you don't want to know...
Well, she'll be here tomorrow.
That's what I'm saying. If you don't want to know about Taylor Swift...
I already know that you were the creepy guy who was trying to get into the bathroom while she was in there.
I wasn't... You misrepresented. That is technically true, but that is... That the way that you tell it gives a
scarred for life.
That gives a false impression. That gives a false impression of how that story unfolded. That is not an accurate impression. I will clarify that later.
Some things up
on the other side, and I'll give the other half of the story. All right.
I hope she tells that story someday on Larry King.
It's 503-733-2970 as they're passing Taylor's Law. All right. Back after this, 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere. We return momentarily. All right,
the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. In mere moments, Tim Riley rejoins us in the Ministry of Truth. Later on, top five cheap trick songs that are not Surrender. In honor of Robin Sanders' 54th birthday this week. What else? Scotty J in the Suburban Perspective. Don't forget, you can always send your questions for Scotty to rick@rickemerson.com. Because we found out that I'll continue to do it because I'm a glutton for punishment. I'm a glutton for punishment of Scotty, I guess. We will continue to take calls during the Suburban Perspective, but of course the irony is that Scotty isn't there to screen the calls. And so we get like yesterday when a guy just calls up and just wants to whisper sweet gay nothings into his ear, which has some entertainment value.
That's been exciting for Scotty.
Yes. Yes, it was. Breaking down those walls one brick at a time. Now, you know, if I'd really thought of it, I could have taken that joke in a much better direction. All right, well, anyway. 503-733-2970. So if you got a question for Scotty J in the Suburban Perspective, you email that to rick@rickemerson.com. Later on, Jim Roop will be here. We'll talk to him about that Oscar thing, and then I'm going to ask him about that spanking story that everybody's all talking about. Apparently, it's all a buzz, and all the radio programs are discussing it.
All right, we're going to discuss spanking.
Look at me with my finger on the pultural cusp.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. Can I get a... That's fantastic. Pultural cults. That almost sounds crude. Anywho, so, no, because I've had that story sitting in my stack for a couple days. Haven't gotten to it. Today, who is Stephanie Miller? Stephanie Miller was talking about it. And then the couple people were talking about it this morning. They have this segment on their program called The Rookie and the Redneck, in which Lee, who is, I presume, the redneck in the equation, and then... I think it's Jake, who's sort of a younger guy. I think that they take Hannity and Combs style opposing positions, and then they discuss, and then the audience weighs in, and then at the end they have rapprochement. Anyway, so everybody was talking about it today. So we're going to Jim
the spanking thing.
The spanking thing, and the best thing about it is I don't even have it in front of me anymore. But the headline for the spanking story was like, God, it was like no spank bill to pass.
No spank zones.
No. It was something that really, was something that made it sound much more titillating than it actually is. But it's this thing, this legislation that's been proposed in California that won't let you won't let you whack your child if it's under the age of three. So if your child is under the age of three, you won't be able to use your fists to discipline it. Sadly, apparently.
So, are there police going door to door to catch people in the whacking mode?
I don't really know. I'm not really sure how that would work. But if your kid is under the age of 3 years old, apparently you might not be able to just use like a club on it. So, anyway, but so do you have sound on this?
I have it coming up.
Fantastic. So, see, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, we can whisk ahead to it.
That's okay.
Now
we'll get to it in our own sweet time. Right. Here's Tim Riley.
I want to talk about Tony Blair.
Who doesn't?
Who during, we're going back to A now, so please refresh. During Prime Minister's question time said pulling out of Iraq is a very bad idea.
For us to set an arbitrary timetable, and that is what it is, it's arbitrary, it's not attached to the conditions in Iraq, it's simply saying that we will pull British troops out in October, come what may. That would send the most disastrous signals to the people that we are fighting in Iraq. But you know what? Most of them have already been pulled out.
No, but they're getting into it there. That's what I'm talking. Listen,
well, for us to set an arbitrary timetable, and that is what it is. It's arbitrary. It's not attached to the conditions in Iraq. It's simply saying that we will pull British troops out in October, come what may. That would send the most disastrous signal to the people that we are fighting in Iraq.
See, well, you're held accountable there.
Well, it doesn't happen here in America. Yeah, well, I mean, they
opposing views are allowed. It's not like some
say it. Like, it's not like what, Jim? It's not like life under Mussolini?
Perhaps so.
Yeah, you weren't here for that yesterday. Sarah, you missed the when Jim referred to my glorious leader, whom I respect and follow, as somewhat akin to Benito Mussolini, fascistic leader of Italy.
And then,
well, I was thinking in terms of they both enjoy Italian food.
Of course.
And then, which then cascaded into several comments about, well, Tim, you don't want to get a visit from the men in the black coats. And Tim kept saying things like, they'll have to take down a lot of innocent people with me. I'm not going alone. It was really the best thing any news department has ever said anywhere.
Well, I'm just saying I'm the man of the people. I'm always among the public. I don't want innocent people hurt in my presence.
And they would be.
I don't travel around in some private car. Like...
hundreds of them. I'm just saying, I'm speculating. Anyway, so, no, but that's the thing there. They have no confidence. Well, first of all, they have, what are those called? Elections. Where, like, you vote, and then they count them, and then the person with the most votes assumes the office.
The party.
The party. The party. Well, it's Tory, or it's the Labor Party.
There's a little bit different than ours.
It is, but they have the elections, and the people go and they say, hey, look, I'm tired of being an unemployed pipe fitter. Let's change something. And then they also have no confidence votes there.
Right.
And those...
And they also have judges who dress up in wigs, like the 1600s. They're all dressed in drag.
Are no confidence votes binding?
I believe so. Yes, they can put you out.
The no confidence, but I mean, are they...
They do the same thing in Canada.
Are they obliged to? Like, if there's a no confidence vote, which I know they have these discussions every now and again because... Because Tony Blair was always, there was always that, will he skirt the no confidence vote this time? It looks like he's come through again, the consummate political survivor. And then he would come through, but I was never clear about whether, like, if you failed a no confidence vote, if it was like, you have 5 hours, security will guard you as you bring your things to the front in a box. Mm-hmm. So there's that, and then they have this, whatever, the questioning day, which is once a month.
On C-SPAN.
Yeah, oh, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's the only...
You actually have to know something to be a leader there.
Because you're on the firing line, baby. Mm-hmm. And by firing line, I mean verbally speaking. Because you get up in front of there, and it's like they're allowed to ask you anything. They can heckle, they can boo.
And you have to give clear answers.
There's probably a guy up front who sells rotten cabbages to hurl at you. I mean, if we had that in this country, it would just be the most fantastic thing on earth. So, all right, well, there you go. Anyway.
Tony Blair said the Democrats are wrong about their stand.
It is a policy that
He's not even two words into it, and they're already giving him the business, mm-hmm. as Eddie Haskell used to say.
It is a policy that whatever its superficial attractions may be is actually deeply irresponsible, which is probably why it's the Liberal Democrat policy.
Okay, now that's funny. See, that's a little wit right there.
Yeah.
That's a little actually razor-sharp humor they have there in Britain. But you're right that he's up there is saying this obviously to placate George W. Bush and the Bush administration and to try to get Americans to stand aside. But the British troops are already gone, man. Nope. I mean,
They got a couple dozen there. But they silently took them out without telling anybody. That's the way to do it.
Seriously, it is an undercover net. Where are you going? We've got...
Going to get some fish and chips. We'll be back in a few...
Exactly. I need some shepherd's pie and brown sauce. Goodbye. And, but you're taking your tent and everything you want. Yes, I...
One of my grannies coming for the weekend.
Look over there, and they just ran over a hill and vanished.
They've been gone for a while, most of them.
There's nobody left. It's just us. I mean, we really... You know what we are?
We know what we are.
What is that, Tim?
Oh, a very courageous and patriotic country.
Exactly. All glory to the hypnotoad. What I was going to say is this.
Spreading democracy to those who are in dire need of it.
Democracy or death.
The white suburbs must be preserved at any cost.
You know what we are? We are sort of a drink this democracy for 2 hours and don't go to the bathroom kind of country. That really is what
No,
we
they
do.
Did that in Sacramento.
No, but I'm saying that's what America really is. You know what I mean? You're not drinking water, you're drinking democracy. Mm. You're not actually allowed to, it's just like she couldn't, you're not actually allowed to vote for your own leaders or create your own government. You're not allowed to do anything with the democracy. Just take it by force, even if it kills you. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the thing about us is, here's what we are in Iraq, as a country. There's that moment in every movie or in every sitcom, and you've seen this a billion, skillion, squillion times, where the guy is standing there, and it's a cliche, so forgive me, it's a hoary cliche, as they say, where the guy is standing there going, and if I see that guy one more time, I am going to beat his ass. He's, he's fat, and he's stupid, and he's lazy.
Oh, kind of like a Toby Keith type of thing.
But, of course, what happens in the movie? He's saying this
and then it's like the guy standing behind him, right? And so that speech always ends the same way. And if Bob gets up in my face one more time, I'm going to knock out his teeth because he's just a spineless little weasel. Pause for comedy. Oh, he's standing behind me, isn't he? And then you turn around, there he is. That's what we are, except the joke is there's no one standing behind us. And we're standing there going, these millions of troops, all of these allies, will rain down on you with the fury of 1,000 suns.
And the only thing left are tire tracks.
And, sir, and
on the way to the airport.
And it's just George Bush standing there, and in the background it's a lot of... And there's nothing. There's like a stray camel walking by. And that's it. And George Bush is standing up there like a chimp in a flight suit. That's it. There you go. I can explain everything through analogy to bad 80 movies cliches. Oh, God. All right.
Well, we're going to take a break from politics, but we promise to return to it in a few moments.
Zing.
But first, it doesn't look like there'll be arraignment for Michael Devlin in the Sean Hornbeck kidnapping case.
It doesn't look like there'll be arraignment.
An arraignment.
Oh, okay.
Mm. The co-counsel for Devlin said the arraignment at the Washington County Courthouse in Missouri could pose a safety issue for everyone in attendance.
Is this,
it's a soundbite.
I've been contacted by the Washington County Prosecutor, John Roop, and he brought up some valid concerns regarding the safety...
Roop, eh?
Mm. I've been contacted by the Washington County Prosecutor, John Roop, and he brought up some valid concerns regarding the safety situation and Mr. Devlin's appearance in that jurisdiction for an arraignment. Obviously, they have an older courthouse, older jailing facilities there, and they were concerned that they would just not be able to provide the level of security necessary to handle this type of event.
Just say it. He's going to be buggered and killed. Just say that. Say what you're thinking. He is, in fact, it is going to be death by snoo-snoo for him. That's what it is. Allegedly. Because he's innocent, maybe.
Yeah. Well, Miss USA, Tara Conner is back in New York City.
Tara Conner.
Following a stint in rehab, the 21-year-old was given a second chance by Donald Trump after agreeing to get help after rumors and pictures of abuse of alcohol and drugs.
Rumors and photographs.
Behaving wildly in nightclubs and trying to recruit underage girls into her godless lifestyle.
Hello.
The current Miss America, the brand new one, is Jennifer Berry. She says during her reign, she has not had time to misbehave.
This job is a full-time job, 24-7, and I live, you know, on the road out of 2 suitcases and work every single day. There are very few days that I have off, so... for me, there wasn't really anything that had to keep me on the straight and narrow.
But she says the disgraced Miss USA will likely have time to repair her tarnished image.
It's hard for me to speak on behalf of her and the organization because we are so different, and I actually don't have the knowledge to really speak on what she'll be doing or anything like that. But yeah, I think that she, you know, has a couple months to, you know, be the best Miss USA she can be.
Okay. Whatever that means.
I have no idea what she's talking about. All right, let's see. Let's see. We have here about the no confidence vote. It is akin to our impeachment. If you lose a no confidence vote, the party you represent will remove you from power in the House of Commons, chooses a new prime minister. Blah, blah, blah. And then there's something about the House of Naboo. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, this just in, Grey's Anatomy star Isaiah Washington has entered a rehab treatment.
No! No!
Yep. In an effort to quell the controversy surrounding his anti-gay remarks and save his job.
You are kidding me.
This after undergoing talks with ABC executives, the married 43-year-old homophobe was spotted entering the facility about 9 this morning.
Are you?
No. This is from Life and Style magazine, which is on sale for $1.99.
At what point did the news...
The lead story, Jen gets more plastic surgery.
At what point did real-world events just become a parody of themselves?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
No, he's in rehab.
I mean, I know you're not kidding me.
Is there anti-gay rehab now?
It's a
is that part of the Betty Ford? Is that the annex?
Only in Utah. which doesn't work, by the way. I'd like to... Well, never mind. All right. Seriously, it's just
take a breather.
It's just that the news, it's like the snake eating its tail thing, where the news has just become a parody of the news.
Well, it's unpredictable and everyone can see through it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I thought it was a joke.
This isn't going to do anything for him.
That's totally like, I thought it was a joke when you were saying...
No, this is not a joke.
Well, because this guy's...
Sometimes I tell jokes, but not this time.
Let me just insert the... Let me insert the obligatory gay's anatomy joke right here.
Okay. No, but you know that he's going to end up getting fired anyway, because that's the only way everyone's going to be happy.
I hope he ends up picking up stray bottles. Seriously, F that guy. That guy makes me so angry.
Let's change the subject. You're going to get all freaky.
I'm not getting freaky about it. The guy... It's like the going into rehab thing. Just like man up. You know what I mean? Man up and just say, like, look, I said some crap and I was an a-hole and what are you going to do? I'll try to be a better person and, and I said something stupid and offensive and I'll keep my trap shut.
Well, the first class of the day is spin class.
If you don't know, if you've been locked in a small cage somewhere and you didn't hear the story, so he is a guy from Grey's Anatomy, which is a show that I only watched like the first season of, and then I kind of faded away from it. I just didn't, a little too cutesy for my, a little too Ally McBeal for my taste.
No.
But not a bad show, but a little too David E. Kelly for my taste. I don't even want to talk about it. Everybody knows the story. Everybody's heard the story. But did you see him at the Golden Globes?
Yes.
When he got on microphone and microphone, on camera, denied calling the guy that. Denied calling his coworker that. Like, we just like 800 people saw him do. And then the most uncomfortable part of that entire press conference, from my perspective, is... So there's, what is it, Isaiah Washington, is that his name?
Yes.
He gets up there and he says, he said, I did not call TR, da-da-da-da, and he uses the word. He said, I did
which
not.
Which was a lie.
Yeah, which is a lie, because
And plus he used the word again.
And then he used the word.
Like he thought it was funny.
He used the word again because, because it's hilarious.
I know people who use that in jest. That word just really bothers me.
Well, and it's,
I know it's not meant to be harsh, but in his case it seems like it was, but I know people who just use it. It just seems really inappropriate.
Well, and we're not in third grade anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's time to find a different word to describe things that maybe perplex you a little bit. So, anyway, so he first uses this. He first calls the guy this on the set. Keep in mind, this is on a film set where like cameras are rolling constantly, right. And there's like 800 people around to witness it. So saying that you didn't call the guy that. And I guess it was known, this, what's his name? T.R., is it T.R. Knight? Is that his name?
Yes.
I mean, everybody on the set kind of knew, he was gay and whatever, but he went publicly out. And so Washington calls him this on the set in front of like 800 people, all of whom see it, all of whom witnesses it. Then at the Golden Globes, he gets on stage in front of the camera and says, no, and I did not call him that word, and repeats the word again, like three times. Which is a lie, and then so I'm sitting there watching this, and the worst part of it is I'm sitting there watching Sandra Oh, like having to physically restrain T.R. Knight who's just turned like beet red, mm-hmm. from like bolting from the platform, and so for the red, and Patrick Dempsey just looked like he was about ready to deck that guy, and I just wish he would have. I swear to God, Patrick Dempsey. Not that I'm encouraging this, but I know that you and Isaiah Washington have come to fisticuffs on the set before. I'm not encouraging violence as a solution to these sort of things. I'm just saying that should you ever find yourself in a situation where you've been put in jail for perhaps beating him repeatedly in the face, Rick Emerson will try to help bail you out. Rick Emerson will try to make sure that your stay there isn't too long. In rehab.
Yeah.
Oh, F that guy.
So,
seriously.
This T.R. Knight has been a gentleman throughout this. At least he didn't call him, some filthy breeder or something.
Yeah. All right. It's just the whole
which
thing.
He could have.
Just, yeah.
And deservedly so.
Rankles me. All right. I'm done. I'm not going to be bitter. I'm going to move on.
Well, I think we should talk about politics, don't you?
Yeah, let's go to B.
Let's talk about something that's uniting.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Here's somebody else who will make you extremely happy.
Ready? When you say me, do you mean me?
Yes, you. It's all about you.
Thank you.
It is the Rick Emerson
finally.
Show.
Well, it's only it goes without saying.
I was going to say.
It's all about you.
Taking 5 years.
These aren't specially chosen for me. Or for Derek Dillon. These are all for you.
Thank you.
So here we go. That. This will interest you immensely.
Ready? I'm so ready.
Okay, we have two sound bites here.
Is this Bagby?
Yes, it is.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm ready for this, yes.
Well, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Near Middle Eastern Affairs...
This is exciting.
Liz Cheney...
Oh.
...says the vote is a message to the President.
What you saw today in the Senate, unfortunately, is an attempt to say that they do not support this plan that the president's put forward without putting forward a plan themselves to explain how we will secure Baghdad, how we will secure Iraq.
And this will get you even more excited. Liz Cheney says the results of the midterm elections are being misread.
People really have been, in my opinion, misreading some of the polls. If you look at the election results in November, I think there's no question that the American people are very concerned about the situation in Iraq. But they didn't say they want us to lose the war. They didn't say they want us to leave before the job is done.
Yeah, that's exactly how everybody's reading it. Where's the box for humiliating defeat? Can I please? No? All right, well, whatever. You know, it's like how when people say anybody but Bush. There is no anybody but Bush category, but of course that's what people were saying. Sometimes one must learn to understand what the people are asking for. And when John Kerry, and because people will say that Kerry was beaten badly, and that's really not true. Kerry actually came within 300,000 votes of winning.
He did much better than anybody thought.
He did, no, and I got to say
and,
that.
And nobody who voted really wanted him.
No, that's the thing about John Kerry, we got to say the thing about John Kerry is that before he just gets dipped in amber and bronze and stuck in a museum somewhere,
it's like buying day old bread. You like the bakery products from today, but it's too enticing to save 25 cents and buy day old bread with a sticker on it.
Do you have any ho hos from yesterday? I don't. Do you have any blinzers that are on sale? The thing about John Kerry is, John Kerry is boring and at this point, unelectable. But let's not revise the history. We should acknowledge he came very close to beating Bush. He came within 300,000 votes of beating George Bush, which is, you know, he still should have. And it is, in my opinion, largely inexcusable and stupid that he lost, but he did come that close to beating George W. Bush. Let's not just say that he got beaten very badly. It was a bad defeat, which is like a bad loss, like a bad beat in poker. Hmm. Not the same thing as being beaten badly. He was beaten narrowly. What the hell was my
point? It wasn't as much fun as the Al Gore election.
No, it really, and don't even get me started on the Al Gore election. And the thing about this is, you're right.
So now John Kerry's going to have to give himself a slideshow.
And that no one even liked John Kerry. I have to find something to save. No one even liked John Kerry, and he almost won. And the only reason John Kerry came within 300,000 votes is because there was no box that just said, someone else! Just to anyone, him, Scotty,
I can handle this bad taste in my mouth for just this election, sure, but not again.
No, that's it. It's just like, what a minute. What have you got? You know what it is? It's like when you're really, it's like late at night, you're really drunk, or, you know what? Okay, here's the thing. Let's just speak frankly now as adults. You know what John Kerry was?
What?
John Kerry was the girl at the end of the bar at 2 a.m. Not especially interesting or attractive, but ready and available.
She seemed nurturing.
No. No, not at all. She's good enough for now. And that is all there is to say. That's what John Kerry was.
She's supporting the storm.
John Kerry was sort of a political booty call. It was just sort of a, okay. I mean, I guess for this one time. I mean, look, let's not make a habit of this. You give her a different name. You don't tell her your name is Scotty. You tell her your name is,
Hortense.
Hortense. Okay, I got nothing. Bam! And we're done with that. All right, 503. Do we have to break?
We don't have
more sound. Well, we'll do the sound when we come back.
But we're going to think about spanking.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, you're going nowhere.
We don't
nowhere.
Have CNN at one.
No.
It's all Tim all the time.
Yeah.
There's no CNN.
And even if we do, doesn't matter. I can do what we can multitask.
I don't know if I'm ready
here
for this.
Oh, no. Well, you better get ready, my friend. You better be ready. That deal can only mean one thing. I don't know what that one thing is. Okay. 503-7, that's what it means. 503-733-2970. Sit there, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.